بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله today we'll continue with تزكية, and this is from مختصر منهاج القاصدين by Imam أحمد ابن قدامة المقدسي, different from, that's the junior, different from صاحب المغني, the author of the book المغني, the famous ابن قدامة. This is someone who's about half a century his junior. And مختصر منهاج القاصدين is a book on تزكية. We have been covering the quarter of المنجيات, means of salvation. منجيات, means of salvation. That quarter, which discusses the means of salvation, discusses things like reliance on Allah, like pleasure with Allah, like love, the love of Allah, and your means to salvation. And we have been in the last two sessions talking about reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, inshallah, we will cover a small part of this topic, which is the different examples of people who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one thing that I wanted to start with before I talk about the three different examples of three different degrees or ranks or stations of reliance is that this reliance on Allah is one of the most important foundations of Islam that you teach to your kids. When we say you teach this to your kids, it means what? It means it is a foundational part of Islam. It is a very essential part of Islam, and it needs to be instilled in your kids. We teach our kids about Salah, we teach our kids about the love of Allah, about the love of the Messenger. We teach our kids about predestination. And predestination and reliance are interrelated, aren't they? You see, the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was behind him on the mule, he said to him, احفظ الله يحفظك, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. إذا سألت فاسأل الله, وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. إلى آخره, وعلم أن الأمة إلى آخره. So he said to him, oh young boy, should I teach you a few words? And then when he grabbed his attention, he started to teach him, احفظ الله يحفظك, which means safeguard the rights of Allah that he may safeguard you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك, safeguard the rights of Allah that you may find him in front of you when you need him. In other words, that you may find him when you need him. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, when you ask, only ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ, and when you seek help only from Allah. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ, know if all mankind were to convene to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except with something that Allah had decreed against you. And know that if all mankind were to convene to benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you except with something that Allah had decreed for you. And then he said, رُفِعَتْ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفُ, the pens have been lifted and the scriptures are dry. You see, when you're writing, you lift the pen up, and not only the pens have been lifted, so there is no more writing, there is nothing that will change, but also the scriptures are dry. It's done. That's predestination. And that is at the same time reliance, because he's telling him that you have none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should rely on none but Allah. You should ask none but Allah. You should seek help from none but Allah. Because no one can help you but him. And those who can help you may not be willing to help you. And those who may be willing to help you may be incapable of helping you. And if they are willing and capable, they may die. Their capacity is limited. And their willingness is limited, as we said last time. We said, no one continues to love you, even your mother. Your mother, you can ask your mother for a favor, and the second favor, and third favor, particularly when you grow up. But then, if you continue to ask and ask and ask and ask, there is a limit, there is a ceiling, right? Even your mother, there is a ceiling. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The more you ask, the more he loves you. The more you ask, the more he loves you. He considers you asking him an act of worship. And he invites you to ask him. And he loves you, loves of you to ask him. And the more you ask, the closer he gets to you. So that type of relationship is only between you and Allah, not only between you and your mother. So the point here is that this is one of the foundational basics of Islam, principles of Islam, predestination belief, the belief in qada wal qadar, which is interconnected and interrelated to the belief in, to the reliance upon Allah. If you know that everything is decreed by Allah and He's the only one in control and He's the only one who's willing to help you, then you will only rely on Him. And this is something that we teach to our kids. When do we start to teach this to our kids? You start to teach this to our kids from day one. You know, from whenever you can get anything across to them that will make them understand this concept, do not hesitate. You know, even if they say thank you, and you say to them, say thank you to Allah, or say Alhamdulillah, because it is He who brought us this food. It is He who did this to us. You know, Allah used me to do this. But He is the one who actually did it. He is the one who actually brought us food, and He is the one who did this and that to us. That is, again, to connect the kids with the belief in Allah to the point where they see Him as the only effector in this universe. All others are under His control, despite the fact that they have their willful beings, willful agents, but their will is limited, superseded, and encompassed by His. So He is the ultimate effector in this universe. So when they see it like a beautiful rose, it is time to tell them that it is Allah who created it. Because they will always, always see Allah as the ultimate effector in this universe. And that is important, because if they see Him as the ultimate effector in this universe, they always rely on Him, because they know that He is always there for them. Now, relying on Him as kids does enormous benefits to the children and to their psyche and to their belief and to their integrity and to their courage. You know, the kids will have courage. The kids will, you know, you see that those kids who are always afraid of sleeping in the dark, you need to really instill in them. And that does not mean that these kids are bad kids. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you need to instill in them that, you know, monsters are not monsters. They're, you know, to tell them that there are no monsters. But there are creatures that we don't see, right? But the thing is, don't stop there, because beyond them, and above them, and, you know, certainly He is in control of all of them, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are His servant, and if you're pleased with Him and He's pleased with you, how could you be afraid of any creature, seen or unseen, that is completely under His control? Completely under His control. Like if you're walking with your father in you know, through the aisles in Walmart, and your father is, you know, 6'11". And you see someone who's like 4 or 5 walking by, and you're a little bit intimidated by him. But then you see your father next to you, and he gives you a lot of confidence, because you see that this other guy that looks a little bit intimidating is really much smaller than my father. And therefore, I feel safe next to my father, who's this, you know, huge and big and so on. But just this is a parable. But when you truly believe that your caretaker, your main and ultimate caretaker, is Allah, who can compete, you know, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can make you afraid? From whom should you be worried? None. If you really think that your ultimate caretaker is Allah, because your father is limited. Because your father could be the one who's 5'4". And so everyone is limited. But if you truly believe that your ultimate caretaker, and your father makes you actually believe this, Because many times the parents want to make their kids feel like they are the ultimate care givers, and they really neglect to show their kids that, no, I am but a means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for you and is maintaining and sustaining you. That is very important. That is how you instill tawakkul in them. Now, Imam Ibn Qudama divides the types of tawakkul into three stages. The first type of tawakkul, or the first stage of tawakkul, is when you rely on Allah like you rely on someone to whom you've given power of attorney. Someone you trust so much, you've given them power of attorney to manage all of your property. So, like, if you have like property back home or something, and you try to think of someone that is really very trustworthy, and then you know you have like four or five siblings, but out of the four or five siblings, there is this one particular sibling that you really trust. That sibling, you'll give them power of attorney to manage all of your properties. You trust them so much. That is the lowest level of reliance on Allah. Because when this type of reliance is, you do trust that agent to which you've given the power of attorney, but you are looking out for yourself also. You know, that sibling of yours, you trust them and so on and so forth, but you don't trust them to the point, because they may make mistakes. They may not be particularly untrustworthy, but they still have incapacities, and they still have shortages and understanding and so on, and they may mismanage your money, not intentionally, you know. So you're still looking out for yourself. You trust them a lot, but you're still looking out for yourself. And that's the lowest degree of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that is above this is when you rely on Allah like a child relies on his mother. You rely on Allah like a child, like an infant relies on his mother. She is the caretaker. She is the primary caretaker. And he always feels safe when she is around. And he always runs to her when he's afraid. And this is beautiful, because I have always tried to find an example, because to look for examples is very helpful, particularly when you preach and so on. And I've always tried to look for an example to لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. There is no refuge from you except in you. When you say this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua, لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك, there is no refuge from you except in you. And the example is the child was with his mother. It's amazing how when the father beats the child, or when the father yells at the child, let's say yells at the child, you know, beating here is not... No, and there is really no beating in Islam for kids. It's spanking. It's disciplinary spanking. It's not the beating. You can't beat your child. But Islam allows you to spank your child. Anyway, but when the father yells at the child runs to his mother. But when the mother yells at the child, you know, sometimes you may not see this, but many times you will see the child running to his mother. He is running to his mother because he cannot tolerate her being unpleased with him. He cannot find any comfort but in her. She is the one who is displeased with him. But he is running from her displeasure to her pleasure. He's running from her to her. So he is trying to change that state, because he knows that she is the ultimate caretaker. She is the source of comfort. So if the mother, for instance, goes to Walmart, for instance, and watches, this happens. You know, the mother yells at the child. The child is not going to run to a stranger for comfort. The child will hang on to his mother, you know, and hold on to her while she's yelling at him. So that is to seek refuge in her from her, or seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him. That's a very nice example. So The second degree is when you rely on Allah like the child relies on his mother. He knows that she is the ultimate caretaker and he knows that he can only find comfort in her. So he runs to her. But is this the ultimate? This is certainly better than the power of attorney. You've given your sibling, your brother, the power of attorney. You still ask every once in a while and make sure. But you're, as an infant, you're not asking your mother about, you know, is there going to be lunch? What, you know, are you sure there is going to be, you're going to pay the bills for, or you say to your father, are you sure you're going to be paying the bills for the utilities? And you just rely on them and you don't need to think about all of these issues as an infant. You're not going to even be thinking whether your mother will feed you the next time or not. So you completely relied on them for maintenance. Yet, you get worries and fears, and you do run to them, and you do seek refuge in them from your worries and fears. The last station is a little different. In that station, you will not even get the worries and fears, because you will be like the dead body, in the hands of the washer. Not like the infant with his mother, like the dead body in the hands of the washer. You've completely surrendered to Allah, you've completely referred all matters to Him, to the point where you do not even run to Him because you're always with Him. And you do not even get that anxiety or fear or worry because you always trust Him. That whatever it is that befalls me is from Him, and if I am doing my best in serving Him and being devoted to Him, then it is ultimately for me, not against me. All I need to do is to focus on one thing, more devotion, more dedication to Him. I don't need to worry about 2 million things in this world. I don't need to worry about the bills, I don't need to worry about work, my supervisor, I don't need to worry about my mother-in-law, my son-in-law, my this, my that, you know, the neighbor, my car. There's too many worries. But if you surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you refer all matters to Him, you make your provisions, you take your precautions, you act sensibly, but you have complete comfort in all of His decrees, because you think that I only need to focus on one thing, which is more devotion to Him. And I do not need to worry about anything else because He is the ultimate caretaker of all of these things. And whatever happens, whether I get the job or not, whether I stay in it or I get laid off, whether the car breaks down or not, whether the wife or the husband is happy or unhappy, pleased or displeased, you do your best in being kind to people. But again, you're not going to be psychologically dependent on their pleasure or displeasure. Because all that you will worry about is that focus. I need to be more devoted to Him, and He will fix all for me. And that is a condition that is unlike the infant with the mother. It's like the dead body in the hands of the washer. So that's complete submission, complete surrender to Him, and that is when you don't have any worries and anxiety. Does that mean that you will never run to Him? You will never get worried? No, it doesn't mean that, because the Prophet ﷺ himself used to run and make dua. It does not mean that you will not be making dua. You'll be making dua about everything. But it means, like you see in Badr, the Prophet ﷺ kept on making dua and making dua and making dua. But in Badr, did the Prophet ﷺ make dua because he was doubtful of the outcome? In Badr, the Prophet ﷺ, the day before Badr, he was taking the Sahaba to show them where every one of the disbelievers will die. He tells them, this is where Abu Jahl will die, this is where Utbah will die, this is where Shaybah will die, this is where he will fall once he dies. And the Sahaba said, none of them, you know, deviated from the Prophet, where the Prophet pointed by an inch. None of them. All of them died where exactly. So, now came the day of Badr itself, and the Prophet ﷺ is making this dua like someone who is losing a child, you know, distressed. And he makes this dua, and Abu Bakr keeps on patting him on the shoulder and saying to him, you know, Saying to him, your Lord will never forsake you, O Messenger of Allah. So he wanted to comfort him, and he saw that the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was distressed. So it was not because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was doubtful, it was because the Prophet wanted to teach his Ummah to live in the reality, to react to the reality with the appropriate response to this reality. He knows that he will win, but that is the appropriate reaction to this reality, the reality of war, the reality of distress, and so on. And he knows that some of his companions will be killed. So it is just a matter of living the reality, because as known in Islam, there is no monkship in Islam, because the test is not to withdraw in a monastery and say that you're righteous. The test is to live in this reality, in the midst of this reality, and without compromising any of your values. That's the test, that's the trial, and that's the true success. So, but what I'm trying to say is that you will make dua, you will run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with complete certainty, with complete comfort. No worries, there will be no worries and no distress, because you have completely surrendered to His will, and you enjoy it to the point where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was seen laughing, not laughing, but smiling, on the day of his son's death. And then they asked him, how come you're smiling and your son had just died? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّ أَمْرًا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُحِبَّ مَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ. Allah was pleased with a certain matter, and I wanted to be pleased with that which He is pleased with. I wanted to be in complete conformity with His divine will. If that is what pleases Him, if that is what He decreed, then I am pleased with what He had decreed. So in this case, if someone like Abdullah ibn Umar would he be afraid for his own death or about his own death? No, the death of the child is more than your own death, right? The death of your child is more traumatic, more devastating than your own, or than your own sickness or disease. So that is the ultimate when it comes to disasters, enormous afflictions. And if that is how he is responding to how he is treating this decree or affliction, then it shows you that for those people there is no distress. There is nothing that will distress them. And those are the people that have their paradise in their hearts, in their chests. As Imam Taymiyyah said, that my enemies can do nothing to me, for my paradise is inside my chest. It is with me wherever I go. And if you reach that level, that ranking of having complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point where you do not even worry about any of the future decrees, because you completely trust into Him and you completely know that you have one focus, one job to do, which is to be more devoted to Him and to be more dedicated to His cause, and then you will not worry about any thing in this life or the hereafter. Inshallah, next time we'll talk more about tawakkul. Maybe we'll talk once or twice more about tawakkul, and then we'll talk about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.